Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you that when you speak, you change us. When you change us, you mold us to be more like the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you would do that as we hear what your word has to say to us this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you've ever been asked the impossible. You might have been asked the impossible at work. Any teachers? Yeah, we've got some teachers here, haven't we? I know they're frequently asked the impossible. You might have been asked the impossible by a child or a grandchild maybe, or a niece or a nephew. Most of you know that my eyes are decidedly dodgy, and that makes things sometimes comically impossible. At school, in the summer term, we used to have to play tennis in PE lessons. Well, you can imagine, can't you, that my eyes made it impossible for me to see a small ball coming towards me at great speed, particularly when it was sunny. And I very quickly discovered that it was absolutely impossible to guess where the ball was just by hearing it bounce. And I imagine that's why there's no tennis for the blind or partially sighted at the Paralympics at the moment. And if you think that some or all of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is impossible to live by, then today's passage is for you. Because Jesus gives us great hope. What he says is really simple, yet it's massively life-changing. Because he offers to make the impossible possible. Have a look with me at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Ask God for help, and he'll give it to you. Jesus promises that God will make the impossible possible. But before we see how that promise from Jesus is inextricably linked to the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, it's worth us just pausing and realizing that he's also saying that we can ask God for anything. And he said that in the Lord's Prayer, hasn't we? We prayed it earlier on, and it's in Matthew chapter 6, in the same sermon that Jesus gave. "Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Asking lots of different things of God. And here, "Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. How much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask?" So we can be convinced and we can be confident to ask God for whatever we need. But we need to remember that God knows better than ourselves what we actually need. So the Apostle Paul learned that when he begged God to take away his thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. He wrote in 2 Corinthians, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You see, God knows best. And God always gives us good things, even when they don't feel great at the time. The Apostle Paul was able to look back on his life and say, "Yeah, now I understand why God has let me keep this thorn. It's been good for me." But while it's absolutely true that we can ask God for anything, I think Jesus is much more focused in the passage that we've got before us today. What he says is firmly connected to the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. He's inviting us to ask for help to, as we live out our lives before him. Help with living by the otherwise impossible teaching he's just given. So let's delve down into that and see just how Jesus promises that our loving Heavenly Father will help us. And I think there are three main ways with living by the Sermon on the Mount that God promises to help. And here they are. First of all, help with impossible evangelism, help with impossible obedience, and thirdly, help with impossible belief. So first of all, impossible evangelism. And let's have a look back at the verse immediately before our reading, Matthew 7, verse 6. And Jesus has given us an impossible conundrum here. Have a look at verse 6 with me. Jesus says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." And Steve explained last week that the pearl that might be cast before pigs or dogs is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Steve explained that sometimes we can put the gospel before people and they might trample it under their feet or tear us to pieces. But we're also commanded in Matthew's gospel to take the good news to all people. So how are we supposed to know who will be a trampler or a tearer? Well, I'm sure some of us will have had the experience of mentioning our faith to a friend or a neighbour, a colleague, or maybe even a family member, and they have trampled on it. Maybe they've ridiculed it, that they've been snidely amazed that you believe that. Perhaps they've even thought a little bit less of you because of your faith. And that hurts, doesn't it? That hurts. We know the truth about Jesus, that he's the only one who can repair our broken relationship with God, and therefore the only one who makes us acceptable for a place in heaven. Yet people close to us reject him and trample him underfoot. And so it feels risky, doesn't it, and we shy away from talking to people about Jesus. Impossible evangelism. So what can we do? Well, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." We're a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus in the Anlaby communities and beyond. An impossible task, except that we can ask for help with otherwise impossible evangelism. Help as a church. How do we reach 15,000 people with the good news of Jesus Christ? Let's keep asking God to open doors. Help as individuals. How can I dare ask my friend to come along to the tea at the Anlaby Ritz? Or how can I dare hand that second flyer inviting them to the Harvest Festival to somebody who might tear it up? Jesus promises, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Jesus makes impossible evangelism possible. So secondly, impossible obedience. Jesus is teaching for us, his people, in the Sermon on the Mount, is uncompromising, to say the least, isn't it? He tells us, "Don't think badly of anyone, ever. Never fly off the handle, even in your thoughts. Don't ever look at somebody lustfully. Always, but always, keep your word. Love your enemies, without exception. Don't be judgmental of others, particularly those in church. Be salt and light, always, getting saltier and brighter all the time. It's impossible, isn't it? Well, to quote the Vicar of Dibley, yes, but no. Jesus began by saying that he's fulfilled the law for us back in the beginning of chapter 5, credited to our spiritual accounts his obedience. But that's not a cop-out for us, because his teaching does still stand. We can't just say, well, I know that Jesus has called me to obedience, but I don't need to think about that too much because Jesus has already done it for me. Living by Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is impossible, completely impossible. But we're still called to do it. But if we think that it's not impossible, we're no longer spiritually poor, are we? And Jesus would say to us, watch out, because your inheritance, your place in the kingdom of God, is at risk. He came for the spiritually needy, not those who don't think they need help. So it's a relief, isn't it, when Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. Jesus offers spiritually poor people a way to make impossible obedience possible. No, we're not going to become morally and spiritually perfect in this life. We'll have to wait for our resurrection bodies for that. But if we ask God for help in our obedience, he will help us. So do you find anger an issue in your life? Or judgmentalism? Or lust? Or it might be that you really struggle with verse 12 in our passage today. Have a look at verse 12. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Ask him for help in your obedience. One congregation member said to me this week, it's time to really repent and ask for help. That's exactly right, isn't it? It's time to really repent and to ask for help. Look with me at verse 9. Jesus said, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God will give us the good gifts that we need. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Good things to live for him. And to live as part of a Christ-centered community, if we ask. And we can be certain of this. Certain, because though we mess up all the time and get things wrong, well, even we know how to give good things to people, don't we? So how much more then will God, who never messes up and is always good, how much more will he give us good things? So if sometimes you felt God's finger pointing at you during the Sermon on the Mount, that's his finger of grace, driving you to ask him for help. God will make the impossible obedience possible. Ask him. God makes impossible evangelism possible. God makes impossible obedience possible. And finally, impossible faith. God makes impossible faith possible. Today's Back to Church Sunday, and it may be that that's prompted you to come along here today, I don't know. And it might be that you're here for lots of different reasons. Perhaps you're here at church today because you think it's the right thing to do. Perhaps you're thinking that somehow being at church is going to just win you a little bit of support in God's eyes. Perhaps you're regular here, and yet you find the whole faith bit, trusting Jesus, really hard. Well, if that's you, listen to what Jesus says in the very next verse about finding faith. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Have a look down. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus says it's hard, impossible to find the narrow road, because we live our lives, don't we, as if we're following everybody else in rush hour down the A164, and we miss the narrow turning. But guess what Jesus says to you, if that's you? That's right. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." Ask God to show you that narrow road. In other words, ask him to give you faith in Jesus. It's only faith in him that leads to life, eternal life in heaven. And here's how urgent it is that if this is you, that you do ask him to give you that faith. You'll not go to heaven unless you have faith in Jesus and are following him for yourself. That's why Jesus says that wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. Jesus says that most people don't go to heaven. Rather, they head along the broad road to destruction. So don't let that be you. Ask, seek, knock. God makes otherwise impossible faith possible. So as we begin to close, impossible evangelism, impossible obedience, impossible faith, all made possible through asking God, through praying for help. The bar of the Christian faith for Christian living is impossibly high. Jesus has fulfilled the requirements for us. But that's not an excuse for disobedience or faithlessness. Instead, it's an encouragement to pray to our good Heavenly Father, because he only gives us good things. He'll only help. So let's ask God with help, with impossible evangelism, with sharing the gospel. Let's ask God to help us to live obediently for him. And let's ask God to help us believe, perhaps even for the first time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make the impossible possible. Thank you for these words of Jesus that encourage us to ask. And Father, we know that now is the time for us to begin repenting and to ask for help. So Father, please give us hearts that will ask, and please grow us as you shape us into people who are more like the Lord Jesus. Amen.